there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, before we dive in, I really want to pray for God's wisdom in this message, because I realize that we're starting a series today that maybe not so much today, but over the course of the series will speak to each of us. It's called Controversial. It'll speak to each of us as a church family on how to navigate some pretty tricky current social issues that we're dealing with in our culture. And even not only in our culture, but in the church as a whole, in our colleges, and even in our homes. And my heart is that I am really sensitive to what each of you may be navigating. And so we're going to proclaim truth, but our heart is that you guys are able to take this and really allow the Holy Spirit to soften your hearts, so that we as a collective group do our absolute best. We do our part that God has called us to do to enter in a relationship with those that are perhaps confused, lost, or in real disagreement with where we stand. Does that make sense? So I'm looking forward to this series, but I also have a real healthy appreciation for how we do it and how you guys listen, because the Lord wants to use us. He wants us to be truth givers, grace givers at the same time. And there's a biblical way that I believe we can do that. And let's really listen for that as we move forward. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that your word is truth, that you are truth. Father, I thank you that you speak to us through your Spirit, through your written word. You give us what we need to navigate this life. And yet, Lord, we ask this morning, I do, for wisdom, that I would say nothing more and nothing less than you would have me to say, and I would do it in your heart and in your spirit. And Lord, that for each of us that are here this morning, that you would allow us to really receive your word in your intended way. So Lord, we humble ourselves before you this morning. We put ourselves under you, and we ask that you speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this series, as I mentioned, Controversial, we are going to be tackling some issues in the next several weeks that I think we're pretty aware of. Next week, we actually have a speaker that's going to come in. His name is Dr. Christopher Yuan, and he comes out of a homosexual background, and he's been liberated of that and wants to speak about holy sexuality. And so there's actually a conference on the 27th and the 28th at our Post Falls campus. If you go online or on the app, you can find details. But I encourage you guys to lean into this series, because I really believe it will help us understand and have God's heart as we give the message of life to a hurting and a lost world. Right? And so we're going to tackle some other things: social justice, critical race. Each of these, as I said a moment ago, the culture is all over the road on this. And even people in our own homes are in disagreement. And we just want to hear from God. We really want to hear from God on this, so that we don't lose perspective, but we stand firm on those things that he's given us. And so today, I want to talk about the inerrancy of Scripture and a little bit on biblical interpretation, because I think that this sets a foundation for how we open up the Word as we look at these social issues that are really deconstructing the culture around us. So there's a number of things I was thinking about this. There's a number of things that have stood the test of time, that have been stable, that you and I, every morning when we get up, we don't even think about. Who thinks about gravity, right? If you jump, you land, right? That gravity is this constant. It's this thing that we rely on that has not changed, right? But I was even thinking more practical. The older we get, many of us have to wear glasses, right? Amy, do you have that slide for a minute? Okay, so glasses, if you can understand, this is crazy to me. I didn't even realize this until I read about it. So the glasses were invented in 1290, okay? 1290. And the purpose of glasses are to take light and bend it through glass so that we can see better, right? And the premise of glasses has not changed from 1290 to 2021. That is a huge time period where we rely on glasses. And here's the problem in our culture is that so many people feel like I can see without glasses, right? That I understand the truth, but for some reason or another, I disconnect from what God is saying. And we look at this timeless truth that God has presented to us through the gospel and his word, and we think somehow it has become outdated. And I don't know about you, but I need these things even to see my notes this morning. Is anybody else in here? Anybody else getting older? But we want to see clearly what God has given us and then discipline ourselves to act upon it in his grace and truth, right? That's all he's asking us to do. And so it's important for us to trust what God has given us. It's very important. It's vital. And I want to start in the book of Matthew in chapter 24. Some of you are familiar with this text, but starting in verse 10, listen to what the Word of God says. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, Jesus says a whole bunch in this text, and we could probably spend a week on this text alone. We just preached on it not that long ago. But there's a couple of words in here that I think are important and germane for us to pull out as we look at it. The word many will turn away, like turn away. Do you know what the word scandal means? So in the Greek, this turned away actually means, the word is scandaloso. And it means that there are these things that are stumbling blocks. There are these lies or falsehoods that are put in the way for us to trip over. And he says that many will trip over falsities, right? In the last times. Many will stumble over falsities. It's a snare, right? And if we're not careful, we can trip over these falsities and go down the wrong path, right? But Jesus goes on and he says that many are fighting and even betraying one another in the last times. And in the most sensitive way, I am so sorry to some of you that are experiencing this, even in your own families. It's painful. It's painful. But Scripture is revealing some things to us. Jesus is telling some things to us that are real, and we can either deny them or embrace them with God's intended heart. He says in here that the love, that people will grow cold. And what this is their hearts will begin to be disillusioned by what they see in the culture, and they'll just gradually slip away from it. Their hearts are growing cold. We have to be aware. We have to have a barometer or a dashboard in our own lives so that we don't position ourselves in a way to go down the road of getting a cold heart because we're disillusioned, because people can't agree on anything, because there's this agenda that's blowing that is so confusing that how can we possibly navigate it? You get what I'm saying? And there's these falsities that are coming at us at a rate that is like really rapid right now. See, I don't believe it's God's heart that we go around and solve every social issue. I believe it's God's heart that through his love and his grace and through a delivery of the good news through relationship, the gospel, that we can begin to change the hearts of people, that God can change the hearts of people through us so that they can look at these social issues with a gospel lens, an accurate lens, and not a lens of this current world. Is this making sense? It's so important for us to grasp this. Now, in Galatians 1, which is the next text in your notes, if you're following along, context for the book of Galatians, there's these Judaizers in the region of Galatia. The book of Galatians is written to a group of churches in the region of Galatia. And the Judaizers have come in, and they've begun to distort and pervert the gospel message by telling the early young Christians that they've got to satisfy the law as well. They're dragging them back into something that Jesus liberated them from on the cross. So here's what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 1. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, I want you to land on that for a minute because there's some historical significance to what he just said. But he said that from heaven that should preach a gospel other than the one we preached you, let them be under God's curse. Those are strong words. Those are really strong words. You see, the historical church has always dealt with heresy. It's dealt with heresy from within and without. You guys, the creeds that the early church embraced at the councils were intended to be guardrails because of all this heretical teaching that was coming into the church. And the creeds were intended to keep Christians focused on the main truths, the gospel message, and not get sucked into these fables that people within the church and from without were pushing in. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Having right doctrine is essential. It's essential, you guys. So what is doctrine? Because I think for some of us, we look at doctrine, we want to run from it because of how people have misused it. And it's this big word, but it's really simple. It's the right teaching about Jesus. It's the truth in the gospel. Okay, having doctrine is essential for us. I want to start in Acts 2:42 because I want us to go back to an historical place that is a firm foundation, and that's the early church. So in Acts 2:42, you remember this in the book of Acts, we see Jesus appear before he ascends to his disciples, and he says, "Wait here, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit," right? You guys remember that? And then you will be my witnesses or my martyrs all over the world, here and all over the world. And then Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit falls on the church. All the believers from all over the area come together. They're speaking in other languages so that the people, all these other people that come from all over the area can understand it. And Peter rocks the house by preaching the gospel message. And people's hearts were cut to the heart. They were pierced. And they repented. They said, "What shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." You guys know the story. Well, in 2:42, this is what the early church did. And I'm not going to read the whole text, but I want you to listen to 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Okay, so here's what I want you to get out of this. First of all, this devotion in the Greek would be like this animal, like a ram, that the ram would put its head. You know how rams can push? The ram would put its head and move forward. In other words, stay devoted. That's what the early church did. What were they devoted to? That word, the apostles' teaching, is doctrine in the Greek. That's literally doctrine. So they were devoted with a steadfastness to the gospel message the witnesses had written down about what Christ Jesus did when he was on planet Earth. Can I get an amen on that? And for the early church, the doctrine set the course for how they were to worship God with their lives and how they were to do relationship together. You see, we can be a church of relationship, but if we have no doctrine, we have no rudder in the water, that reveals to us the heart of God and how we're to do that, then we're a cult. Doctrine matters. Now, I don't want to complicate it, but it's important. It's important to us. And the Bible is filled with doctrine that God has given us that is good and right and true. And out of love, he gave us his word and doctrine so that we would properly make sense of life here on planet Earth. Like, how else do you make sense of this crazy world we're in if you can't come back to the central truths of the Bible and hold fast to them? Because everything around us is shaking and moving right now, right? You guys get it, right? Christian doctrine is intended to help shape our lives by thinking right about things. Thinking right about things. Do you know that it is impossible for you to go through a day without thinking? Have you ever thought about that? You can't even go through 2 minutes without thinking, right? I mean, you might check out, and maybe in your sleep you're not thinking, but when you're awake, you are thinking. You were created to think. The little gray matter that God's given us is really important. It's kind of the control center for what goes on, right, in each of our lives. Thinking on what God's word says shapes our worldview. How we look at the world matters. If not, we're just like anybody else, stumbling over all these fables and fairy tales and myths and the greatest new idea, and this is how we interpret this, and we're going to rewrite, we're going to cancel culture, we're going to rewrite the Bible to make it work differently, we're going to deconstruct. Hello. It's arrogance. It's ignorance, and it's confusion. And where does that come from? One place, Satan. Thinking on God's word shapes our worldview. It's important. Third point, we are to trust the authority and the inerrancy of Scripture. And I want to spend a few minutes here because I think it's helpful. So the text that you guys look at it in your notes is John 1:1. Most of you probably have part of it memorized, but let's read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. You guys get the text, right? If God is the Word and its author, you guys, we cannot divorce the character and nature of God from his teachings, can we? If God is God and he is the living Word and he's the authority, we can't divorce what he says from who he is and really walk in any healthy way as a Christian. Jesus made it clear that God's word is authority. He quotes it in the New Testament writings back to the Old Testament to validate and verify the Old Testament writings. God was divinely inspiring writers to put down his expressed will from the very beginning, from Moses on. And not only that, but in the New Testament, Jesus speaks very clearly and commands us on some very, very essential things. Authority starts with God. His word is his narrative. Think about that for a minute. It's his narrative revealing who he is, what he has done, and what his desires are for relationship for each and every one of us. The whole Bible is this picture of relationship that God wants with each of us, and he's made a way and a plan to restore relationship with him. And his name is Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the living word. His word is authority. And you know what? He commands us to use it. You guys know the Great Commission, right? Great Commission is really important. Matthew 28 starts off Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So as a result of that, or therefore, as you go about doing your life, you're called to make disciples, right? Baptizing them, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. There's that word doctrine again. There's that word to impart truth, right teaching again. Jesus has given us the commandment to go into the world and do that. Can you just see sequentially how he's walking us to our part on planet Earth right here? So let's talk about inerrancy for a minute. The historical Christian teaching on the Bible is that the Word of God is both inerrant and infallible. Now, those are big words. We'll define them. Inerrant and infallible. It's without error. That's inerrant because it's impossible for it to have errors. And it's infallible just as God is infallible. So let's unpack it for a minute. Inerrancy means freedom from error or untruths. It is without error in concept and truth. You got to go back to John 1 to go, okay, if God, who is sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful, he doesn't change, is the Word, then his Word is all truth. It's inerrant, right? But all infallible means is incapable of erring, because infallible denies the possibility of error. So you need to think about this for a minute. You got to start with who God is and realize that his Word is without error. And God himself, his Word himself, it's impossible for him to be in error. Did you hear that? If you don't believe that, that is going to create real problems when you open your Bible and you try to navigate the culture we're in. Error comes from two things: ignorance or deceit. That's the only place that we make mistakes or errors in. We're either ignorant or we willfully do it, right? Can you own that for all of us here? We've all done that. And Scripture tells us that God is incapable of either. God doesn't lie. Scripture says it. God doesn't change. So that's the foundation that everything else comes off of. Because if we debunk the Word, and there's all kinds of crafty ways that people are trying to bend truth and reconstruct it right now. You guys, there is nothing new under the sun. That's why the early church, when it faced heresies, had to put the creeds in place. They had to stand fast on the basic precepts of God's Word in order to stay united and be different than the world they were in. It's no different for us today. The Apostle Paul writes two letters to Timothy, who is a young pastor. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, here's what he says. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. He doesn't say some Scripture. He says all Scripture. In other words, God knows everything and is the source of all true knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Who's the source of all true knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? Can I hear that? God is, right? God is. Not us, not Jim on his throne, Jim off his throne, surrendered and through lordship to my Savior because he's Lord God, and he knows what's best, and what he's spoken is true, it's infallible, it's without error. And it has all authority. Christians, we've got to remember this. We've got to stand on this. It's so important. God does not make mistakes, and therefore his Word does not either. So here's our doctrinal statement on the Bible. It's in your notes. We believe the Bible is God's Word to us. It was written by human authors under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because it is inspired by God, the Bible is infallible, inerrant, and absolute truth. It is the ultimate and final authority for Christian beliefs and living. That's where we stand as a church. Okay? So how are we to understand Scripture? Like, that's a great question, right? How are we to truly understand Scripture? John 14:26, this is what Jesus says. But the advocate, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you what? All things, and remind you of everything I have said to you. Do you realize that he's the spoken word? God gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to protect us, and to empower us to obey what he's written. Do you believe that? That if you are a believer today filled with the Holy Spirit, he has equipped you, he has come alongside you to teach you, to illuminate his teaching. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, where's our heart? How do we position ourselves so that the Holy Spirit has free reign inside? Because the book of Galatians in chapter 5 talks about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And if the flesh has the steering wheel of our lives, it becomes really difficult to hear the voice of God through his spirit and his written word. Can I get an amen? We've all struggled with that, right? He gave us people, the people of God, the family of God, to help us navigate all the complexities of life. He's given us wise people to help us even look at Scripture and understand Scripture from a biblical perspective. You guys, let's take advantage of that to help one another as the family of Christ, right? Let's take advantage of it. And if you don't understand something, please come and talk to one of us. And we'll work it out together. We'll try to figure it out together. Look, relationship is God's design to help impart truth and help us establish a plumb line. It isn't the internet. I'm sorry. Now, there's some great things on the internet, but you can get sucked into the weeds in a New York minute on the internet. You just can. Be careful. This concept that God told me something, the God card, you've ever had it played on you? God told me to divorce my wife. I'm sorry, but God does not tell you something. It is a contradiction with his written word. He doesn't. Be careful with the God card. Yes, God does speak to us. God reveals. He impresses things on our heart. But it's not in contradictory to the word of God. Do you understand that? When interpreting God's word, this is something that I think is important, because this is for some of you that are like really smart, way smarter than me, there's this thing called precision and truth, okay? Precision in the word is when God spells out exact details, and then there's general truths that he reveals in Scripture without the details, okay? They're both in Scripture, but not every verse or passage in the Bible is either precise or just generic truth to us. Not generic, but God's truth to us revealed. So there's both, right? Sometimes the word speaks with exact detail, and sometimes it doesn't, right? They can exist within the Bible very perfectly under the will of God, because he's God and we're not. And that's not a cop-out, but God chooses to reveal certain things. That's why Scripture says, no man knows the day or the hour except my Father in heaven. That's not precise. That's truth. If it were precise, he would have said that the Lord is going to return on this day, this time. You guys get the picture, right? Like, here's the analogy. I just celebrated a birthday, okay? I own it. I'm 62 officially now, okay? If you ask me how old I am, and I say I'm 62 years old, am I telling you the truth? Right. But if you ask that question a different way, and you say, when were you born, where were you born, Jim? And I answer 62, I'm not giving you the right answer. But if I tell you the specifics, that I was born in Palo Alto, California, August 16th, 1959, at approximately 8 p.m. in the evening, which is close to when I was born, God's still in the business of miracles, isn't he? Isn't that amazing? Crazy. I'm a miracle. So are you guys. You guys get the point that there's precision in the Bible, and then there's just factual truth. And don't ask the Bible when it speaks of factual truth to give you precision, because God hasn't decided to give you precision right there. Okay? There is this thing called faith where we have to believe that God is still on the throne and he knows what's best for us. So don't struggle over, I got to know every jot and tittle about everything. Because you know what? You're not. Because you're not God. And it's important we remember who we are. We are sons and daughters if you're a Christian this morning. You've been adopted into the kingdom. But as a parent, let me ask you this. Do you tell your kids every specific thing that's going on in your lives? Well, how would that go? You know, we're declaring bankrupt to a three-year-old. Like, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? The Bible speaks with both, but not always at the same time. Let's not try to argue about the Bible because we're hung up, because there's some things that actually require faith and trusting God. So let's talk about rules to interpret Scripture for a minute. Now, this is important. There's a big word, hermeneutics, which is really to interpret Scripture, right? Hermeneutics is the bigger picture, and then there's exegesis, which is to exegete a given passage, but we're going to stick with hermeneutics, okay? What does it mean to interpret the Bible? The very first thing that we need to keep straight, and this is how we as a church view it, is that we're going to go back historically to the closest thing to those that spoke the words. And what did they say? Not what 2,000 years later, what people are now interpreting Paul to say or Jesus to say. We're going to go back to the writers who were closest to the proximity when it was spoken and go, what did they believe? How did they interpret it? You see, that's an orthodox way of looking at Scripture. That's not a progressive way. Progressivism is to say, how do we take now Scripture and make it so relevant to our culture that we feel good about what it says? You know, last time I checked, not everything in this book feels good. It actually, it convicts me. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, goes, Jim, you're out of line. You're off base. Turn. Does that happen to anybody else? Or is it just me in here, right? Historical principle. Interpretation must be based on the author's intention of meaning and not on the reader. You guys ever want Scripture to read something to justify where you stand on an issue? Anybody done that in here? That is not good hermeneutics. Sorry, doesn't pass the test. That would be called cherry picking so that it supports me and I don't yield to it or to God, right? Interpretation must be done in the context of the passage. What was the writer talking about? What is the context of the passage? Because if you look at it first through the context of our culture, there's no way you're going to interpret it right unless you understand the authorial intent of who the audience was and what was going on at the time. We read it in Galatians chapter 1. Paul is speaking to the churches in Galatia because there's Judaizers. It's important to understand what the Judaizers were trying to do so that you get the heart of the text. Does that make sense? It's important. Interpret the plain meaning of the text at face value. The plain meaning. What does it say? Like, that's a novel idea. I mean, just to stop and say, what is God speaking to me? Like, pray and go, God, show me who you are in this text. If we don't start with him first, there's no wonder we're a grease fire as a church all over the road with the church as a whole with Scripture and its authority. Because we're trying to translate it through our own context without understanding the heart of God. What does the original language reveal about its meaning? You guys, the English language has been reworked and wordsmithed so much that if you take the English words in the Bible, as best as they're translated, and you don't understand what the true word meant in Hebrew and Greek, then you can miss so much because of how we have reconstructed. Like, there is a whole, I haven't read it, but there's a whole new dictionary, like, in 2020 now. 2021, 20, I mean, I don't know, last several years. There are so many words. If I've been told that if I use the word junk from stage, that people are going to interpret that completely wrong. Okay, it's changed so much. I got to be careful about what I say so that I don't offend, because our vocabulary is changing just as our culture is. It's important to know what the writers meant, the context that they were talking about, understanding what the actual original word meant. You know the word stand firm in the Greek? It's hupo, to go under, and it's to persevere under. When Jesus says stand firm, he's saying, put yourself, stand under the pressure. Okay? Now, in our culture, stand firm might be, I'm going to stand firm here until you can prove that that there's some new truth, you know, and maybe I'll entertain that. No. Jesus is saying, stand firm to the end on the things that I've given you. Remain under them. It is good for you. What's at stake if we get it wrong? I think we're seeing it right now. Again, Paul in 1 Timothy 4. Watch your life and, what's that word? Doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Okay? Same idea. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, he's instructing a pastor like me when he's saying that. God's word is our anchor in this storm, you guys. And as we move forward in the next few weeks, I want you to remember this. So I'm thinking about this story. Christy and I lived in Dalton Gardens 20-some-odd years ago. And I'll never forget it. I was building a shop in the back, and I had two walls that were stood up. And the weather was like, it wasn't too bad out. And so we kicked the walls off. I had studs bracing them and everything. And this storm blew in with like high, high winds. And I remember, you know why I remember? Because I still have a scar from the waffle print on my Franklin framing hammer. Because I ran out there in the middle of this windstorm. It was like almost a tornado, feverishly grabbing 2x4s to try to brace the walls better because they weren't going to stand up to the wind. And it was like almost too late. Fortunately, I didn't lose the walls, but I had to kick them like a whole bunch of extra kickers on it so they would stand it. That was right in the middle of the storm. That was in the middle of the storm. Look at Scripture. Listen to what Jesus says in the book of Luke. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood came and the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it. Because it was what? It was well built, right? It was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. You guys, there is a torrent blowing in our culture right now, a progressive liberal agenda that is impacting our schools, our churches, and our homes. I encourage you, worship team, you guys can come up. I encourage you guys to take this seriously right now because the winds are not going to let up. I just don't see it. I don't see it in Scripture. So how do we apply this? Hebrews chapter 4. I love this text. Many of you know it. For the word of God is alive and active. Why is it alive and active? You ever ask yourself that question? Who's the word? Jesus, right? For the word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, right? We all get that. Let God work on your heart in this season. Allow the word of God to shape you in this season. Okay? It's important. You know why? Because if we try to attempt to respond to any of this stuff we've got without humility, we've lost. If we come at this with some arrogant thing because we think we can bounce the Bible off of someone's head and we don't handle the word correctly with love and grace both, we've missed it. And the only way I know to do it is let the Word of God reveal the stuff in my heart so that I can be right. Jesus says, take the log out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of someone else's. Whew. That's convicting. Anybody here walk around with logs in your eyes at any time? Right? No wonder you bump into stuff. Christy says in the morning, where'd you get that bruise? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't. Sometimes the Word reveals something in our lives that's painful that we need to deal with first, right? That's the first thing as we prepare in this series. Because God is separating our personal desires from what is true. Isn't that what you want? I do. I want to be authentic. He's in the process of authenticating each and every one of us in here that are yielded to Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? The Bible has real answers for these social issues. Question is, we need God's wisdom. We need to understand what he says about him, what his word says, but then real wisdom in terms of how we respond. James 1, 22 through 24. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Guys, we're to live committed lives as the family of God here, helping one another as we are sanctified, persevering under the pressures of this world, coaching, clapping, exhorting, helping one another so that we walk in both grace and truth, helping one another humbly have answers for a lost and a dying world around us that is terribly confused and angry. You know what I love about the gospel and the life of Jesus? Jesus came in the opposite spirit that people approached him in. Do you ever notice that? They're dialed up. The Pharisees are screaming at him. They're accusing him of all these things. He came in the opposite spirit. How? How do you do that? You can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you guys. Our flesh is like, it has too much of an appetite if we don't have the Holy Spirit. So this week, I want you to try something here. First of all, don't trust everything you read on the internet. Please. Please. Pick a time to read the Bible for 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes. Set yourself up to win every morning, every day. Do you have that, Amy, do you have that Psalm? Psalm 119, 103, verse 105. Here's your assignment this week. It's in your notes. Read this every day this week and meditate on it, okay? Would you do that? How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Isn't that good? Meditate on it this week, okay? One last thing. What are kids known for when we talk about faith? This is simple trust, right? This is simple, uncluttered trust. That's what the Lord wants from each of us, to trust him. Can I get an amen? If you need prayer, we have plenty of people that would love to pray with you on either side for anything that's going on. If God is speaking to you and you've not surrendered your life to him, today's the day. Yield. Come get prayer. Repent. It's so good, right? God's so good. Well, let's just stand up and worship the Lord because he's worthy of that, right?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.